Good to see everybody gathered together here on the Lord's Day, even our visiting preacher's family with us as well. It's unique that worked out that way, but I'm so glad that we have more time together. Certainly want to thank Nick for the good lesson he gave during the Bible class hour. I must admit I was quite impressed, and I had to think about when I knew him as a baby, essentially, and then to see him up there developing such thoughts and arguments to attest to the most important event in history, and that the resurrection of Christ. You know, people have died on a cross before, but no one's ever died on a cross and been raised from the dead. And to defend it so ably, it was beautiful to behold. And I must admit, there's a couple of times I had to hold back the tears just to see that. And I glorify God because of you and the raising that you've received. And of course, Ethan and Danielle also are fine examples of Christians as well. As I was watching my son pull out the songbook, little Tanner, to stand as we were singing and to lift it up just high enough to get it on top of the pew in front of him and to start flipping to the pages, I realized that's where it all begins. And we want to develop children that will have their own faith and be able to defend it very well. And it begins at a small stage. And as we've been studying in this series, it's not been one right after the other, but developing it as we go along. The first half of the series dealing positively how we build this up in our children. And then the last half dealing more with dangers that our children face, especially as they begin to get older. And I have announced this one ahead of time, and I wanted to continue to have it ready to present to you. Teenage digital dangers. We had said that the theme passage is Malachi chapter 2, where God states that He wants godly offspring. He's speaking about our children becoming His children, and everything we do within our power must be to bring this about for them and for Him. And this is going to be one stumbling block along the development of our children. As I've grown up and been involved in computers, I've seen them also take off and their abilities of what they're able to do. I remember as a teenager in high school being involved in computer classes and helping install the very first networks in my school district at that time, in the high school and in the middle school and even in the elementary schools as well, running computer wires that computers might eventually be networked. Eventually, my degree was at the University of Washington in computer science, and so I've seen how these machines can be harnessed to do great things and accomplish great things, even no doubt for good. But wicked men have found to harness them for evil, unfortunately. And we have to make sure we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And so that's the why of this lesson. We live in a digital age, and that is just not going to go away. That is a part of our culture. Technology has come in and is an integral part of our lives. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, notice what the wise man said in verse 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9 and verse 10, as he thought about his world around him, he said, "That which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in ancient times before us." And so while there may be new technology, we must understand that Satan's still up to his old tricks and seeks to tempt man through the flesh. And that is as old as the Garden of Eden. Even though the new tactics have come along, temptation just merely takes a different form. James says in James 1, 14 and 15, "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth forth death. That has taken place since the garden, since the time of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, even until our day and until the end of time. So sexual temptations and dangerous predators have always been around. There's nothing new under the sun. They just now have new ways to lurk and to prey upon precious souls. They have access in ways that were unknown before to get to your kid without opening a window or unlocking a door. They can still get inside and be with them today right in their bedroom. Brought to you today by new technology. You know, as I think about my life, much has certainly changed. The technology in the 80s where I grew up with is quite simple. The Walkman and Discman, maybe you remember some of these where you'd listen to a tape cassette or a CD as you'd go walking and your earphones would be plugged up to these devices here. And you think about some of the computers. They were very heavy and expensive. And so you didn't have one in each person's room. It was just right there in the family room so that one might be able to access it and to be able to do their homework. Or if you were to browse the internet as it was just coming about in my high school days, you'd use Netscape Navigator. You remember that? Netscape Navigator. And you'd use that very ancient tool to browse the World Wide Web. And then, of course, you know, you had the gaming system of my day was Nintendo, that little 8-bit video game system. Very innocent type games that were played on that system. And cordless phones, that came into being in my lifetime. Of course, I still remember the ones that were corded, you know, but eventually you had these cordless phones. And then in time, cell phones. And you think about these inventions, in a lot of ways, there was a lot of innocence attached to them because they just all did one thing. They had one function to do, and once it was done, that job was complete. And now what you have today is systems that do every single one of these things all combined together. The ability and the processing power that is on these phones and tablets today is just unprecedented. It really is. I mean, you remember back to these times where you used to pay per text, right? 25 cents a text. I mean, just things have so quickly changed. And in 2007, Apple brought the world's very first iPhone to the scene. And it was called a smartphone. And they're commonplace in most homes today. Over 50% of homes have them for the very first time. So you have individuals, whether rich or poor, young or old, that have these pieces of technology that can do so much. I remember just we were walking in the park the other day, and you saw individuals there with their phones in the park. And there was even one individual whose car was completely rusted through on all sides. And my boys saw it, and they started to make some comments. And you're thinking, oh boy, as we get closer, are they going to say something? But there was the owners on the park bench with their smartphones, also seeing what was going on in the world today. So like I said, rich or poor, young or old, they are in our world today. And you can find anything, do much of anything with these phones. They are essentially computers for the hand. And they're small enough to be taken anywhere. This is where some Christian families are just a little bit behind. They wouldn't advocate for a computer or laptop to be in their children's rooms. However, the phone has made its way there. The smartphone, which is a computer, like I said, that has full access to everything out there on the internet, and it has full access to one's home as well. You know, we take a lot of precautions for our families from danger, if you think about it. These car seats that are around today that weren't around in some of our childhood days, they're so big and bulky and necessary, they say, to protect our children. And so we invest our money into that. Locks and security systems for the home. These also have become almost everyday occurrences in the house. Safe vehicles. We like to research a vehicle to find out if it's safe for our family. We want safe homes. However, sadly, we don't see often the great danger before our family in the technology surrounding us, in the TVs, in the computers, the tablets, and in the phones. Dale Adams, most of you know who he is. He is a officer here, a lieutenant in Franklin, Kentucky. He's also a Christian who attends a Sound Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And he said this. He said, think twice regarding giving cell phones and smartphones to your children. He says, think twice about that and set up a plan before you give it to a teen. Not saying you can't have them, but you had better have a plan and how and when it can be used and what kind of access. If it is all unlimited, he says, I believe you will have some trouble in the years to come. Now, Dale made a very good lesson on this topic, sharing some of his unique experiences that he's found, even in the small town of Franklin, Kentucky, which we would call, if you've traveled much, a country town. In comparison to much of the metropolis that exists out there in the United States of America. And yet he's had experience dealing with individuals and families that have given children unlimited access to these particular devices. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's notice what God warns us all about through the inspired Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he says to be sober, be, notice, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So God has encouraged us to be on guard, essentially, against this great adversary who he says is not stationary or static, but rather is always moving like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That was true before smartphones, and it's certainly true as we have them introduced into our lives. He is always on the move, and he seeks to devour even our young today. Verse 9 says, though, resist him steadfast in the faith. And so we're able to be vigilant and put up our guard and to be able to resist him if we are steadfast in the faith. If we're not, then yes, indeed, troubles certainly lie ahead. These threats are real, and there's changing faces of technology and changing apps, but the temptation is the same. It may have a new outlet, a new medium to get into our lives, and I believe that's one reason why we've got to have this particular lesson in this particular series. Parents need to be on notice about this, that we might be vigilant, that we might be sober-minded as we think about what comes before us in our homes. So I want to start here first with the first point being called the App Store. The App Store. I believe it's perhaps the most relevant to the Christian home. And then we'll work towards things of a more grisly nature like internet pornography. Now, I realize there's going to be some older folks in the crowd that do not know exactly what it is that I'm talking about here. So let me just break it down very simply. The App Store is where you're able to download apps. And apps are these little squares that you see on this phone example before us. And these apps, when you push them, pull up a program by which you may do something with. Now there are some good apps, like Bible apps, productivity apps, even this PowerPoint presentation, it's actually called Keynote in Apple. It has one of those buttons, and I could press it on my phone and be able to manipulate this very screen that you see right here and develop this particular material or make a certain outline by which I might be able to present a sermon from God's Word. And so there is some good that can be harnessed by these particular apps, but parents need to be aware of some current dangers. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 30. As Paul talked about the world that denied God, that sought to reject God and His ways, God gave them over to vile passions, he said. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and so they lived for the lie instead of for God. And he goes on to describe how they just disintegrated into more and more immorality. And he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 30, that they were backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, notice, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. inventors of evil things. There will always be individuals that will seek a way to create some new fashion by which to get evil out in front of people's eyes, in front of their lives. They invent evil things. And I think it's interesting that the next phrase says, and disobedient to parents. Parents, we need to be aware of these things that are being invented so that they don't come into our children's lives. And we have to remember that children, they're not created bad. Often they go astray because of bad parenting. And so we have to make sure we set up the boundaries, and that those children then have to understand the importance of obeying their parents and not being given to things that have been invented for evil intentions. So I want to talk about some of these apps that have that slant and can be abused and utilized for great evil. Now, Facebook is perhaps one of the most popular ones, but I've got news, and that is Facebook is now basically for older folks today. It doesn't mean younger folks don't use it. It's just not their choice medium to go to. Now it's Twitter and Instagram. Those ones are more popular. And Snapchat. And we're going to talk about some of these so that, again, parents might be made aware of. Here's some of the pictures of those particular apps. And so if you see them on your children's phone, you will have an awareness of what it is. The first one being Snapchat, right there. It's number one for teens. It's often called the sexting app. Dale said law enforcement hates this app because the concept of this app is that pictures and messages are there for a few seconds and then they disappear. I believe the number is 10 seconds. And so the user that receives that can see it for 10 seconds and then it disappears. So you parents can't pull out their phone and be able to see what have you been talking about, because by that time it would have been long gone. However, what Dale said is that kids are smart. They found out that you can take a screenshot. That is essentially a picture of the picture that was sent. And then that way they're able to keep that picture for good. They'll send sometimes, he says, explicit pictures that they think will disappear. But it will be screen captured. And then they have it, and that person can upload it to Instagram or Facebook. And the parents, he says, call them, and they are scared to death. And they say, what do we do now? What do we do? And he said, it's kind of like trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube. You really can't do it once it's out. It's too late. And the reality then strikes that parent, and he has to break the news. You know, who's the one that gave him that phone? Who's the one that gave him that particular access that they had? Again, the buck stops here with the parent. And he said, sadly, sometimes these things are used for blackmail. And he gave this illustration. He said, like a boy likes a girl. And he gets a hold of a naked or semi-naked picture of her. And so if he wants to, he can use it as blackmail against that girl. He's saying, if you don't meet up with me and have sex, I'll send the photo to the whole school. Then he has her. I want to say, girls or boys, if that ever happens to you, remember, two wrongs don't make a right. Best to fess up fast. Because you may be with him, and guess what? He may still send out that photo anyway. I mean, he can obviously lie if he can blackmail. He doesn't have any moral compass about himself. I pray this never happens, but it's so easy to get it into so much trouble using these particular apps. Snapchat, like I said, being number one among teens. Instagram's another one where you share photos. And the scary thing is that your teen's location can be visible to strangers very easily. And kids, they often will follow famous people like supermodels and other sports figures or various movie people, personalities that essentially are downright evil. And the things that they promote in their lives. And your kids follow them and see what it is that they're posting, which often sometimes are half-dressed pictures or images of themselves and their lives. Kick is a highly sexualized, inappropriate content type app. You exchange videos and pictures. It has no parental controls. And predators use it because they don't have to be authenticated. And its text messages are not logged as well. WhatsApp is another one that's like that. Again, so you're not able to just go and see what texts your children have been sending. Meet Me and Omegle are havens for sexual predators and drug users. Dale Adams, again, has had experience with these individuals. Secret or Whisper. It's where these apps are designed to share secrets anonymously. And people do that to kids. And it's often called cyberbullying. And so the whispering then takes place throughout the school halls. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you see what was posted on Whisper or Secret? It lets you chat with others in your geographic area, so they know which kids are nearby your kids. Yik Yak. It lets you chat with users within a 5-mile radius. How's that for getting close to your kid's home? A 5-mile radius. Texting is something that is done by kids at an alarming rate. They say from 18 to 24, the average is that they text 128 times a day. 13-year-olds to 18, they figure is even higher. Some 200 times a day, or maybe even much more than that. And they found ways to text without using the phone number, so that text could not be read later on. See, this is inventors of evil things. Why would you not want me to read your text? A parent might say to a child. A child might say, well, my privacy, but yes, but what? You're still my child, and I should have a right to know what's going on in your life. Why would you not want me to know what's going on in your life? And so technology has come along to design these things where kids can do this. Secret vaults as well. You see this calculator up here that's not necessarily just a calculator. It looks like a calculator. It works like a calculator. If you were to press it, a calculator would come up and you can do functions on it, subtract, divide. It works like a calculator. But a child that knows what that really is can punch in the right sequence, and then there appears behind it a vault of photos or videos or internet logs where they've gone to various websites, and they can store these things and send these things to other individuals. Parents, if your children have more than one calculator on their smartphone, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. And they can have these things taking place and you not realize it. So we need to investigate well. Tinder over here is where you think someone's attractive. You can flag them, and then they can see if they find you attractive. And if so, then you can connect. Do you see danger from these particular things? And there's even more. And I want to encourage parents that you need to research every single app on your kids' phones and tablets. You need to do that. Kids at school have these apps. They have these various apps. And listen, they want your kids to have them too. But we have to remember this vital fact, and that is that Christians are set apart. We're not the world. In Psalm 4 and verse 3, it says very plainly, But know that the Lord has set apart for Himself him who is godly. Remember, that's the theme of our series. He wants godly offspring. And the Lord has set apart those for Himself, them that are godly. And the Lord will hear when I call to Him. His ear is open to the righteous, the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says very plainly, God says to the Christian, therefore come out from among them, that is out of this world, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. Be separate, says the Lord. Verse 18, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so we don't try to get as close to the world as we can get. We try to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That is our heart. So don't let the world dictate your parenting. Don't feel your kids have to have it because they say they want it. They need it, and maybe they'll say, well, I can't do school without it. These are silly reasons. And listen, if it becomes school mandatory to have these apps, I want to tell you, there are things worse than getting a bad grade in school. It's called eternal hellfire. And we have to try our best to train our kids to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And yes, good grades, while they're nice and they're important, it is not, listen, it is not a standard by which God's going to judge us on that great last day regarding our parenting. He's not going to say, I can't believe you allowed your child to get a C+ in that class. He is not going to say that. However, he might say, why would you allow them to look at those particular sites? Why would you allow them to have these particular things by which to connect with the world when we are to be set apart from the world? In Proverbs chapter 29, notice verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse 15, the proverb writer says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You know what that's telling me, friends? That's telling us that as parents, we need to be nosy. We don't leave them to themselves. Too many parents have done that. Friends, they're your kid. It's their safety, it's their soul, and that's much more important than their privacy. And if you don't look, then you just don't know. Yeah, trust, but verify. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, this word comes to those that would seek to be elders one day, but we know that it's something that God would desire for all that are Christian. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, he says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. With all reverence. Not irreverence. Not that our kids would just be average or subpar, but he wants them to be superb. In all reverence. And so we have to make sure that we're doing what we can to manage our house in that particular direction. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You see, that's the way I view my family, is that we're here together as travelers, and we're only here traveling for a short time on earth. And so these things, whatever it is we accumulate, it's not really that important. And what we do with all these interactions, what's important is that we travel through and we make it to the promised land. And in order to do that, the Holy Spirit says we have to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And so parents should help teens to do that and to develop that in their young years. In Mark chapter 9, think about this passage in light of this discussion. The weight of it, the gravity of it. In Mark 9, there verse 42, Jesus says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better if you enter into the life maimed rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. And so he recognizes that we can cause a little one that believes to stumble into sin by putting stumbling blocks before them. And if we're contributor to that, he says we might as well hang a millstone around our necks to suffer a similar fate. And he says, if the hand causes you sin, cut it off. Parents need to know that there's a time when you need to cut it off or throw it out.
Now, if he would use the illustration of a hand, how much more so that which the hand holds? Right? Like the tablet, or the computer, or the phone. And it doesn't really matter who paid for it. If it's your kid, it's your phone. Make sure the kids know the rules that are set for the phones or the tablets or the computer. And bye-bye if they don't uphold that. Let it go. Brother Dale, Officer Dale, said, and he hears all the time, "I can't believe my sweet so-and-so would say something like that. I can't believe my sweet so-and-so would send something like that." He said, they're so floored. But in high school, the temptation is there to lead a double life, to seek to be cool and to talk like them and do what they do. These are very real pressures. I want to share with you a post that actually just came my way last night. It's by a sister in Christ who's in her 20s. I'm not going to share her name, but this is very telling. She said, "I would really like to talk about this for a second as, number one, someone who's been into video games for more than half my life, and that includes online gaming. Number two, someone who has a porn addiction. And number three, as a mother. So if you're concerned about your child and the internet, please read this and hear me out. I promise this is all said with sincere concern and love, not as criticism to anyone in particular, just to open some people's eyes as to what is dangerous." She said, "My earliest memory of having a sexual encounter was at the ripe age of 9 years old. Let me repeat, I was 9. It was in an online chat room. My parents allowed me to play games, but the rule was that the chat had to be off. The problem was that as a precocious 9-year-old, it was relatively easy to see how my parents turned it off. And as a curious child, I turned it back on. I ended up in the teens only chat room where the other members had no idea I was a child. There arose a situation where a male user asked me to go into a private chat room with him, which I did, and he kept asking me to do certain things. From then on, I remember always having an incredibly huge interest in all things sexual. Porn addiction came into my life in my teen years. Fast forward 10 years later," she says, "and I was babysitting an 8-year-old boy whom I'd known his entire life. He wanted to show me some things on his tablet. I saw one of his internet tabs that said something explicit. I asked for the tablet and opened it and noticed he'd been looking at hardcore porn. He became super embarrassed, started crying, trying to hide his face in his shirt or behind a pillow. He didn't know everything, but he knew enough to be ashamed. It turns out his 10-year-old cousin had showed him how to look at these sites. And so he started looking at them too." It goes on from there, but it's so sad. It's so sad to see how these apps so easily access pornography, and the video game world also as well entwined with this. And I want to transition now next to the concept of pornography. What once was harder to obtain is now so easy a baby can do it. Like we just read there, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old can do these things. You had to be a certain age in the past to buy a magazine or to go into that particular video room. And now it's just a click of the button. Just a click of the button away. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I know this is hard to read and to say, and I pray it's eye-opening to you as it was to me. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, God is very plain about this subject. He says, "For this is the will of God." You want to know God's will about it? "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." God desires abstinence from these sexually charged images, from sexual immorality. He goes on to say, verse 4, "that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." He's talking about the human body. The male and female sexual organs, that they would be possessed in sanctification, which means, again, set apartness for God's function and an honor. Remember Hebrews 13:4? Marriage is honorable above all, before all. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. And he says in verse 8, therefore he rejects this, does not reject man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. We reject God when we reject these commandments. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, Peter talks of those that have eyes full of adultery who cannot cease from sinning. You see, it's the same old thing, the same old temptations with just a new hat, but it does the same result. You had individuals back in Peter's day who had eyes full of adultery that developed an addiction to it. They cannot cease from sinning. It describes this way before the digital age, and now they have these the access unpresented, where before it's just amazing how easily they can get a hold of it and have their eyes full of adultery. And the Lord says in Matthew 5, 28 and 29, you know, you give yourself to this. Again, it's better to cut your hand off or pluck your eye out. Now, if he would say that so easily, then it should be rather easily for us to say, okay, if it gets to that point in my family, I'm getting rid of the device, all the devices. We don't need that particular temptation. This is a humongous industry, a $57 billion industry, some numbers are reporting, crushing the revenue of all major sports combined. You think about that. That's unreal. By the ages of 8 to 16, they say 90% have viewed online pornography. The industry, they say, works hard to attract 12 to 17-year-olds so that they might ensure lifetime addiction. Pornography is a huge problem. And sadly, it's in the Lord's church too. Art Adams, you've heard me mention him a couple of times in this series, who happens to be related to Dale Adams. Art Adams is a preacher, but also one that deals with counseling addicts. And he says from all the emails and all the context that he has, he would predict about 1 in 4 men in the church. 1 in 4 men in the church are addicted to pornography. It's hurting churches as now some wrestle with, does this give one lawful cause for divorce and then remarriage, the one that was innocent? Sexual sins via a computer screen. Now, I don't think it does give one lawful grounds for divorce. But the point is this, that it causes controversy in the church. Sin does that. And now you have churches that are divided because of someone's addiction. It's been proven to change the very chemistry of the brain, the way one thinks about sex, with each image bringing them closer to an addiction. They paralleled it much to the brain given to heroin, the same areas being stimulated as the pornography brain. In relation to the normal brain, you see the differences there on the screen. And so that's why they've been able to show and make these conclusive points, like we showed this chart earlier by Art Adams, of what addiction does to an individual, a drug, what it does. Each time they're trying to get back to the original high, but they just can't quite get there because instead tolerance builds and it ceases to satisfy. And then it grows worse and worse and worse. And so eventually they try to find out a stronger substance. Or in this particular topic, they choose an even more risky behavior. They get off the screen and they try to find people through the screen to seek out a person or the person that they've been chatting with. They essentially become a predator. A predator with a twisted mind. That's the mind that comes looking for your child and for mine. Because as Art Adams says, where you start is not where you end up. Where you start is not where you end up. There's no natural stopping place because you've built up a tolerance and an appetite for it. And that's how people become predators. They've fed the inner monster and then they have no problem at all coming for your child or for mine. Now in 2004 through 2007, for 3 years, there was this special that was run on Nightline. Maybe you recall it. to catch a predator. And a man named Chris Hansen, who I tip my hat to, who's involved in this, would often say to the predator that entered into the house that was lured by someone posing as a child on the chat room. And as they'd walk in the house, prepared to have sexual encounters with his child, he'd say, "Excuse me, this is Chris Hansen, Dateline NBC. Will you please have a seat over there?" And so it scared me to death to watch those episodes. And I didn't have children. This was before I had kids watching this. This man right down here, I remember the episode. He was a rabbi. He was a rabbi. After this, they, of course, were arrested, and he was sentenced to prison for 6.5 years. That, to me, is not long enough. Because he came there with intent to be with a young child. Dale Adams told of something that happened here in Franklin, of a 16-year-old girl that was lured into a relationship with an older man, but she went willingly with him. She said she loved him, and he loved her. And she would run away, essentially, and then the parents couldn't find her. The father wasn't so much connected, Dale said, but the mother tried to find her. And so she would communicate with her mom via an app that did not reveal her location or her cell phone number. But eventually, thanks to the investigative work of Dale, he had to put on the investigative hat for this, and in combination with the FBI, they caught this man. And when they found him, he was in a hotel room. That's where they were staying. And they found out that this man was prostituting her, videotaping it, and selling the videos for money. And yet she'd say, "He loved me, and I loved her." She's confused, misguided, warped by an evil man. Dale said it could have easily been avoided if her parents just kept a closer eye on her and cared more for her. He said her dad didn't even seem very concerned about her. See, none of this is a game. It has long-term consequences that can land one in jail or in an orange suit. Do you look good in orange? Is that what you want to be in? No one wants to be in. You remember Jared Fogle? The face of Subway? He looked so innocent, right? And yet was guilty of these very things that we are talking about here. Friends, it's real hard for kids, for youth, to look long-term. I know that because I used to be one and used to hear warnings, and you take them with a grain of salt. And that's a challenge for them, being a youth. But parents, you have to do this with them to get them to look beyond the now and to think about their life 10 years from now if they go down one of these paths. In Proverbs chapter 3, you see, that's exactly what the wise man was hoping to do with his children. In Proverbs chapter 3, there, verse 1 and verse 2, he says, My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace they'll add to you. What if you keep my command, if you treasure them in your heart? See, the father wants them to think beyond the here and now, to think long term. It's a challenge for youth. And if you post nude selfies, even, they say, as young as age 8, that when you turn 16, you have to be registered as a sex offender the rest of your life in the state of Kentucky. And if those images make it across state lines, you become a federal offender. And let me tell you, that's real easy to do with the World Wide Web. These are the laws. I mean, how would you like to be going to the police station for regular check-ins? Logging where it is that you live every time you make a move. Making sure that you can't live around a school. All of this after the age of 16. This is as serious as a heart attack. Do you want your kids entangled in that? Me neither. Not for one instant. And so as parents, we need to take serious safeguards. We need to look at parental controls on those phones and filters that can take place. Covenant Eyes and Q Studio. What we have at our house is Circle from Disney. So as the children get older, these things will limit their access on the internet. But in reality, these only work really in your home. And so when you think about it, the best filter, the ultimate filter, is to develop a good and honest heart in every member of the family. In Job 31, Job, who was one that had a good and honest heart. In Job 31, this, as Stephen mentioned in his lesson, perhaps one of the oldest books of all the Bible. And there we see in Job 31, he says, "I've made a covenant with my eyes," verse 1. "Why then should I look upon a young woman?" See, the temptation is ancient. It just finds new ways to get into our homes. But Job says, "I've made a covenant with my eyes." There's the filter. There's the ultimate filter. He wanted to be true to God. In Psalm 101 and verse 3. Psalm 101 verse 3. "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." That would eliminate a lot of things, wouldn't it? "I'll set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." Might be good for us to sit down with our kids and together make this covenant. Together say we're going to make this our goal. This heart will be our filter. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the proverb writer says these words, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And so that's got to be ultimately the filter that will take care of our homes. Develop it. Train your kids. Form that conscience so that they won't want to violate it. Now, the root of the problem, I believe ultimately, is trying to seek fulfillment outside of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says, "Food for the stomach and stomachs for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So when you talk about the design of the body and the intricacies of it and the beauty of the wonder of God's creation of the human body, he says ultimately you boil down to it, the body was made for the Lord, to glorify the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And so when we use it for other purposes, we're not going to find true fulfillment. We will never find true fulfillment. Because the body was designed and made for the Lord. And in John chapter 4, we see Jesus speak about true fulfillment found in Him. In John chapter 4, there He told the woman by the well in verse 14, "But whoever drinks of this water I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." It's like the well never runs dry when you're one with the Lord. And He says it again in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Notice in verse 37, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And in John chapter 10, and verse 10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy." Let me tell you, what we're talking about destroys one's mind. It destroys the very psyche of the person. And that's what the devil wants to do. He says, "But I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." So the root of the problem is they try to find fulfillment in other sources other than Jesus Christ, and they will never be satisfied. Now, to the older generation, this is somewhat silly because they didn't have these technologies. They live in the real world. They're present every day. But the much younger generation lives in a virtual reality where their world is seen through the eyes of their apps and their media, their social media. And this leads to a need to be accepted by their peers, by their friends, by their boyfriends and girlfriends digitally. It's so sad. This desire for acceptance See, this girl who takes this selfie desires to be looked upon like this girl right here. Be told that she's beautiful and how great her outfit is. And I guarantee you this girl is hoping to receive the accolades of somebody else that's prettier than hers. The selfie really is the lonely. It's really the lonely if you think about it. It's sad. There they are by themselves in front of the mirror, snapping these photos, wanting to hear how pretty they look, needing affirmation all the time. They're thinking so much about themselves, their looks, their outfit. I want to tell you, this is anti-Christian. Because Christianity is boiled down to two laws: God first and others second. Well, what about you? What about me? Jesus said very plainly, deny yourself. You're not the focus. No wonder so many are so sad. They've not listened to Jesus. And they try to make themselves this focus. And it's been proven. This is phenomenal information. Because we're still on the cusp of this new technology. It's only about 10 years old. But they have seen a 50% increase in clinical depression for teens from the years 2011 to 2015. I mean, that is in 4 years. More loneliness and hopelessness than before. As a smartphone came in, they realized this is the link, and it's now in over half the population's homes. They strongly correlate. What we have to train our children stronger than ever before is that you are not your login ID. You are not your tech. You are not your Facebook account. You are you. And make my kids and your kids always know that. Don't put much stock in all of this. It's vanity. It's grasping for the wind. It's out there in cyberspace, but it's not in your real space unless you let it. And too many have, and that's why they have such depression rates. Sexual immorality and suicide, mutilation, anxiety, cyberbullying. Do you know that over 3 million kids miss school a month because of cyberbullying? And 4,500 students take their lives every year because of cyberbullying. You are not your digital you. And the real you will stand before a real God one day and give an account of how we used our body, where we spent our time and our focus and our energy. Was it for Him or was it vainly for us? Taking the lonelies. And when it takes hours of your day and you can't live without the tweet update or the smartphone selfie, you're on the cusp of using your life for the wrong purpose, where the virtual world is your real world. Are you surprised at all, parents, that we live in an era where school shootings happen nearly every month? Kids are driven by their own addictions to the cyber life, this video game life, smartphone life, and it's all digital and it's all empty. So eventually that digital world spills out into the real world and it meets with devastating consequences. There's already been 15 school shootings in 2018. We're not even done with the year yet. And you see, 2007, the release of the iPhone and the rates again through the roof. So sad. And so the remedy of it all. The remedy of it all. We need to talk about a lasting remedy, because I'll tell you right now, the apps are always going to change. The technology is always going to be changing. That's constant. But what could be a remedy that stays? So I want to share with you quickly some points. First, you need to meditate on things above, and you need to train your children to do that. Colossians 3 verse 2 says to set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And so that becomes my primary source of acceptance and meditation. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Let's just turn to that. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report,
If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You ever notice the list of Paul? Oftentimes he lists things just one right after the other. But in this list, it's unique. He repeats the phrase, whatever things, whatever things. And someone made the comment one time, and I think it could be the case, that in so doing, he consciously makes us pause and think about every single thing in the list. Instead of rushing through the list, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are just. Meditate on these things. You see how in just a few short words, God takes that all away, all these dangers that we've been talking about. See, the solution is not to rid all technology. It's what you meditate on, what you put your heart into. Anything can be abused. Cars, money, yes, it can be abused. Know the dangers and use it righteously. Because the remedy is you meditate, you put your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Like Psalm 119 verse 11 says, your word I've hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Again, the ultimate filter. Another is to make sure Jesus is the joy of your home. That it's Him that you look for affirmation from, the likes, the compliments from. It's from Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14... In John chapter 14, you know, Jesus told His disciples that He would be their friend. Our youth so much want friends. Well, Jesus said in John 14, 14, I'll be your friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. He wants that relationship with you. And notice the beauty of this relationship described in verse 23. John 14, that was John 15, 14 that I read, excuse me. But now John 14, 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him. Notice, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You see, Jesus has got to be the joy of your home. And when he is, he comes to your home and they make their home with you. And you're in this sweet fellowship together. And that brings you happiness. And that brings you stability. And that brings you satisfaction. Not what your friends think that often changes from one day to the next. But the ultimate friend, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, make sure you spend more time as a family. Often it's an outlet, these tablets, these phones, for boredom and loneliness, and it solves neither one. Or sometimes it's just because, you know, the parent doesn't want to take time with the child, and so they just give them these particular things. No, we've got to look for activities to do as a family away from technology. Do things together. Be involved together in these particular things. Find that joy together. Fourthly, don't shy away from the topic of pornography and sexting. I found that curiosity kills the cat. They need to know what it is and why it's bad. Don't avoid it, but talk openly about it, about its harmful effects, its long-term harmful effects. I guarantee you, if you won't, their peers will. And honestly, young ages do. I'm learning this. So please, don't make it mystic and shrouded in secrecy, because they'll go to the wrong source to find it out. Let them find it out from you. The one that loves them, loves their soul, and wants to protect them and keep them pure and honorable for marriage that you desire for them. All of these things, dear friend, will fill the void with good. I want to end by saying you can go to heaven. You can go to heaven without a computer. You can go to heaven without a TV and without a cell phone, but you can't go to heaven with sexual sins on your record. No, not without repentance and without forgiveness. And I'm sad to say that some teens will miss heaven because of it. At what age will they responsibly use these machines? Each family really needs to decide for themselves. I've decided for mine, and I'd be happy to share that with you if you'd like afterwards. May God bless you with wisdom from above. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 that we can ask for it, and He will give it to us. And I guarantee you, this word, the more we're in it, the more we see things the way God sees things.
And that's what we need for true wisdom. So if you're here this morning, you're outside of Jesus Christ, Jesus wants to save you from sins. He doesn't want you to perish in your sins. You must believe that He is the Christ, repent of your sins, and confess your faith in Him, and then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And He'll wash away all your sins, even these sins. They'll be washed completely away. The record clean. You start over. You are born again. If as a child of God, you've fallen back into this trap of Satan of old, you've been led astray, you need to come back. And when you repent and pray, well, you'll be forgiven again. But don't take repentance lightly. You must truly repent, that is, turn away from these sins, and then confess them to Him, and He'll be faithful and just to forgive you. And as parents, let us hear the warning loud and clear. The dangers are real. They're different, and sometimes we don't quite understand them. A lot of our young people know how to work these things better than we do. But we have to be aware and do our homework, and then do the best we can to save our children's souls. Yes, that may mean that I'll be the bad guy for a little while, but so be it, if in the long run it can help me be the good guy in saving their souls. Won't you come while we stand and sing? Affection's been nailed to